Right, good evening. Good to see everyone. Good morning. This is Waxman. Welcome back. We're putting together this amazing program. And I hope that we'll get a few minutes to work together now, but I hope that you'll have a tremendously uplifting night of Divrei Torah tonight. I wanted to take a couple of minutes to speak about a few themes of Sukkot that I think that as we start to depart from Sukkot, messages, themes, things that we learn that we can take with us going forward into the rest of the year. And if time allows, I'd like to explore briefly three yesodos of the Sukkah itself. And again, to see how those themes can enrich in our lives going forward in terms of Avodas Hashem. The first element of the Sukkah that I'd like to discuss is the issue of the fact that we leave our homes, when we go out into a hut, we seemingly leave the comforts of the gashmios that we're generally accustomed to in our homes, the comfortable couch, the carpeted floors, and we have to go out into our huts, into our roofs, and we have to endure the mosquitoes and sometimes the heat and sometimes the cold, depending where you are. What are we trying to do here? I would imagine that on a simple level, we would all assume that perhaps this is a exercise in distancing gashmius. We spend the whole year eating our steak in the dining room with the air conditioning on. So now we have to go out into the sukkah and it's cold or it's hot, it's itchy, it's sweaty. So it's a distancing of gashmius. And we can bring a very easy ride to this from the fact that what do we read on Sukkot? We read Sefer Koheles. Havalah olam amar Koheles. Everything is hevel. Don't pursue fame or wealth. These things are all hevel. Sof tavar akol nishma, just serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That could be a perspective on Sukkot. But I think that there's a more nuanced approach. I think we need to think a lot deeper. This is not just an exercise in distancing gashmius. We know that in Judaism, we're not about just banishing physicality. We believe that we need to confront gashmius in order to elevate it, to be makadesh the whole, the mundane, to bring sanctity to the mundane, not to escape and run away from the mundane, not to run away and escape from the profane, but we want to elevate, be makadesh the whole. So eating and sleeping in our home, those are activities that we can do that can be spiritual or non-spiritual. Perhaps when we go out into the sukkah, the idea is to create an arena to be able to engage in gashmius in a spiritual way. We're not running outside to escape gashmius. We're running outside in order to engage in gashmius in a decreased gashmiistic environment in order so that the gashmius that we do involve ourselves with gets elevated. And the truth is, the sukkah, separated by the walls of the sukkah, we all know that there aren't many mitzvot that you fully engage your body in. You can go into a mikvah. You can go and make aliyah and do yishuv Eretz Yisrael. These are mitzvot where a person's entire body is engaged, enveloped by the mitzvah. And sukkah also is that way. When a person enters the sukkah, so he enters an area which is completely kadosh. And perhaps then we read Koheles not to teach us to distance gashmius, but to teach us and help us guide our gashmius towards Avodas Hashem. This might also explain the themes of Beis HaMikdash that we find by sukkah. We know that the sukkah, when we say about the sukkah, we say, that the sukkah is some type of micro version of a Beis HaMikdash. The sanctity of the sukkah is compared on some level to a sanctity of Mikdash. And what is the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis Hamikdash was not a place where you entered and fasted and didn't partake in anything beautiful. Quite the opposite. It was a beautiful building filled with gold and tapestries. What did they do to stop on the Beis Hamikdash? They engaged with wine. They ate meat. This was a confrontation with Gashmius, not an escape from Gashmius. And perhaps the Sukkot as well is an opportunity for us not to escape from Gashmius, but an opportunity for us to finally eat Mikdusha, to finally sleep Mikdusha. There's a Meshachachma that might connect all of this to Lulav and Sukkot, and Lulav and Esrog as well, to the Dalam Minim. Meshachachma famously talks about Dalam Minim and tries to understand a little bit of the idea of shaking a lulav in an esrog. And he writes that in agricultural cultures of yesteryear, when they would finish the harvest, they would take the fruits and dance with them and celebrate with them, celebrate with the produce that the harvest brought to them and to their families. Says the Meshech Chachma, taking the lulav and the esrog, the nanuim, dabbling with them, shaking with them, dancing with them, all of these engagements that we have with the Dalam Minim are our opportunity to take a very human expression, celebrate the bounty that you got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to direct it towards Avodas Hashem. Don't just take your lulav and esrog and do your tribal dance celebrating the produce, but use it for a mitzvah. Elevate, take that innate and natural human desire to celebrate your produce and direct it towards a mitzvah. And I think that this is part of the challenge of leading the Sukkah. Part of the challenge of leading the Sukkah is that for 7 days, we ate Kedusha, we spoke with Kedusha. We all know that we have a special extra Indian to be shomer on our speech when we're in the Sukkah. So we spoke more with Kedusha, we ate more with Kedusha, we slept. The Rambam has an amazing line in Nochos. Michos Deos, when the Rambam writes that when a person sleeps with the right kavana, Min says the entire sleep is Avodas Hashem, the Rambam writes. It's possible to bend 8 hours, 7 hours, 6 hours, 11 hours, who you are, but you can bend hours and hours of time, and it all counts as Avodas Hashem. Sleeping in the Sukkah, Shita Rishon Zalman left on the side for now. Sleeping in the Sukkah, every minute you're sleeping, you're being the kind of mitzvah. So now go back into the home, back sleeping in our bedroom, back eating in the dining room. So are we able to bring that kiddush of the chol back into our mundane lives? That's theme number one. Theme number two. A really beautiful gemara about the esrog. Chazal were trying to figure out, how do we know that three eighths hadar is an esrog? Everybody knows that three eighths hadar is an esrog. How do we know? So one of the opinions of the Gemara says that the esrog is a pre, which is dar. It resides on the esrog is a fruit, excuse me, that resides on the tree from season to season. There is no specific harvest season for the esrog. Unlike many other fruits, the esrog remains on the tree from season to season until you're ready to pick. What that means, if you think about it for a second, that means that the esrog has this unique ability to weather the different seasons. Many fruits have a time when they need to be harvested. They're not winter fruits. They're not summer fruits. The esrog is able to weather the various seasons. And the esrog's resilience, the esrog's ability to persevere, to exist, even in foreign conditions. So I think that that speaks volumes about what Kali Yisrael is all about. There is a beautiful song I won't sing to you today, but I will read to you a few words. It's a very famous song, old Yiddish song, a sukkala. Anyone that's familiar with the sukkala kleina, a beautiful song in Yiddish. It's really a haunting song. Next time you're alone in a sukkah at night, so listen, download a sukkala kleina. It is a beautiful Yiddish song. But I'll tell you some of the words of the song. The words in English Our sukkah looked quite small, wooden planks for each wall. Lovingly, I stood them upright. He goes on to describe his love and his deep feelings for the sukkah as he sits there at night. But then a chill wind attacks, blowing through the cracks. And the candles, they flicker and yearn. It's so strange a thing that as the kiddush I sing, the flames come, now quietly burn. In comes my daughter, bearing hot food and water, worry on her face like a pail. She just stands there shaking, and her voice, merely breaking, says, Tati, the sukkah's going to fall. Dear daughter, don't fret, he responds. It hasn't fallen yet. There have been so many fears for nay 2,000 years, yet the sukkah still stands upright. And this beautiful Yiddish song about the sukkah highlights the resilience of Kal Yisrael. The frailty, the diras arai of the sukkah, shaking in the winds, yet is able to weather the storm of history. And this is certainly has to be part of our Simchas Achad, part of what we're celebrating, the eternality of Kal Yisrael, the ability to persevere even in the harshest conditions. But this is obviously only half of the story. What is the secret to Kal Yisrael's endurance? It's clearly the Shomer Yisrael. It's clearly the Ufros Aleinu Sukkah Shomer. It's the sukkah that has protected Kal Yisrael. It is the sukkah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the outstretched arm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that protects Kal Yisrael. And leaving our homes for Yontif is probably the strongest statement that we can make. That it's not the high walls of our fences, it's not the intricate alarm systems that protect us, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we lie awake in the quiet of night looking up at the sky. We're supposed to be internalizing the divine protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Anan HaKavod that continues to protect us till today. The Hashpacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all know that the halacha is that the sukkah is not allowed to be higher than 20 amos, very beginning of the Masechta, because we need to be sitting in the shade of the tzach, not in the shade of the walls. And the Aruch HaNer, his Perush on sukkah, says that the walls represent Olam Hazeh. The walls can come basically almost be made out of anything. The walls represent the fleeting experience of Olam Hazeh. But the tzach represents the divine protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to be sitting in the shade of the tzach, not in the shade of the walls. We need to realize that we don't protect ourselves through the Olam Hazeh protection. It's true, we need to be careful, we need to wear our masks, we need to wash our hands, but ultimately we have to realize that it's the tzach that protects Kal Yisrael. The Gra notes that in Sefer Koheles, which we read now, the Gra notes that in Sefer Koheles, the Teva is referred to as Tachas HaShemesh. That is the Teva existence, the natural existence, is Tachas HaShemesh. And how fitting it is then, the Baruch says, that we are mechuyev to sit tachas atzer. Certainly, this reminds us of the pasuk Hashem tzilcha liyad minecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was described as tzer, that we are required to sit not in the light of the sun, not in the this world experience, but to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection over us. Thing number three I'd like to discuss is Shman Simcha Seinu. We all know that Pesach, Shman Cheir Seinu, Shuas, Shman Matan Torah Seinu. And I'm checking as Tavidola, all of a sudden, they became, lost their creativity. They were writing the tefillos for Sukkot. Pesach, they found the theme. Sukkot, they found the Shuas, they found the theme. So yes, all right, the generic Zman Simcha Seinu. I mean, Samachta B'Chagecha, that can work for any of them. Obviously, that's not the case. Obviously, there's something unique about the Simcha of Sukkot itself. But I'd like to talk about a slightly different angle in terms of the Sukkot. We all know the famous Torah. The Torah writes, beginning of Hilchos Sukkah, that we really shouldn't be celebrating Sukkot now. When should we be celebrating Sukkot? After Pesach or Pesach time, Nisan. That's what after Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's when Hashem protected us. Why do we do it now? So the Torah says, because this is not a normal time to be going out into Sukkot. Nisan is a much more normal time. Nisan, you've been inside, cooped up in the house all winter. Finally, the winter's ending. Sun is out. Everyone wants to go out and proverbially change it to shorts, go to the basketball court, relax a little bit, have some ice cream. So that would be a natural time to build the sukkah. So instead, Hashem says, don't go out then. Then it's not bigger. You're doing this for the mitzvah. Wait until the end of the summer. When everyone's packing up the pool, everyone's putting away the summer stuff, that's when we're going to go outside and sit out in our huts, in our circles. But that does raise a very interesting question, which is, how in the world are we supposed to enjoy being in the sukkah? It's a very, as the Torah says, unnatural time to be in the sukkah. In Chutz Laaretz, it's too cold. In Eretz Yisrael, in Florida, it's too hot. So, who enjoys sitting in the sukkah? How is the simcha? Now, granted, to go out for one meal, have one meal outside, 7 days, out of the air conditioning, sit out in the sukkah. Now, the same question with the lulav. We're looking at the yantar of sukkahs, and we're trying to identify the simcha. Where's the simcha of sitting in a hut and sleeping in a hut for 7 days? Where's the simcha? You know, I don't know, maybe we're different. But for me, when I'm thinking, when I was getting together with my friends on a Saturday night and thinking about what am I going to do tonight, you know, the options weren't go to a movie, go to a restaurant, or shake a citrus fruit. Now, it's not super exciting to shake a little of an Esra. What exactly is the Zaman Simcha Seder? And the Meshach Chacham I mentioned earlier, notwithstanding, you know, if you want to celebrate your harvest, so dance with a potato, dance with some wheat, dance with a lemon. You ever cut open an Esra? There isn't so much excitement with a palm tree. You know, eat the date, dance with the date, not with the palm tree, not with the palm branch. So where's the tremendous simcha in shaking the lulav and the esrog? And I think that there's a very deep story that we're being told. The pasuk says about Shabbos, es shabsosai tishmori, says the Ksava Kabbalah, he's benighting the word shabsosai tishmori. This is a great Tvartorah. If you ever work in the summer, sleep with again. You want to make a lot of friends with the campers. This is a great Tvartorah to share. Says the Ksava Kabbalah, Shabsosai Tishmoru. Hashem says, it's my Shabbos. I define owning on Shabbos. You think enjoying Shabbos is putting on a pair of shorts, playing basketball, sitting in the backyard, drinking some lemonade. You think that's, hey, owning Shabbos, I would enjoy. Says the Torah, Shabsosai Tishmoru. It's my Shabbos. I define owning Shabbos. I define what owning means. Shabsosai Tishmoru. And maybe here on Sukkot, we say Zman Simcha Seinu. We have other themes, but we say Zman Simcha Seinu because we're trying to internalize a very, very important Yisod. And that is reconsider how you define Simcha. You know, life is not about the carpet and the comfortable couch. Life is not about the air conditioning and the comfortable environment inside the house. True Simchas Achayim, as we just heard from the Rosh Hashiva, comes from a life of Torah and Mitzvot. That's true Simcha. To recognize that sitting around, surrounded by Mitzvot, doing things because the Kadosh Baruch Hu advises you that this is a noble thing to be engaged in, that is true Simcha. If Hashem tells me to shake a lulav and an esrog, so the Simcha, Shiyismach Ha'adam, Basiyas HaMitzvot, Avot Gedola, he the Rambam writes. The Simcha of Kiyam HaMitzvot. You can ask one person and say, what's the greatest Simcha? To sit on a couch with my legs up and to drink a beer in the air conditioning. And to someone else, it might be to sit in a sukkah surrounded by four walls of Kedusha, surrounded by Schach, basking in the Kedusha HaSukkah, learning, davening, sleeping b'tahara, eating b'tahara, that is true simcha. Let me conclude by sharing a very nice idea I saw that a sukkah, the lashon of sukkah, we know from Sari Inenu, whose name is also Yisri. Why was she called that? Because in sukkah, she was sukkah the Ruach HaKodesh. Sukkah comes from a lashon of vision, of seeing, of perspective. And maybe the mitzvah of sukkah is not just a mitzvah of protection, but maybe it's a mitzvah of perspective. Maybe the mitzvah of sukkah gives us vision that we can take with us for the rest of the year. And to review, yisod number one, the vision that we can emerge with from sukkah. Right? We're now going to be leaving the sukkah. But when we leave the sukkah, we don't just leave the experience of the sukkah outdoors, but we bring the sukkah into the home with us. Where's the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Where's the sukkah on Simchas Torah? The answer is that the sukkah is now indoors with us, because the sukkah gave us perspective. Number one, it helped us realize the role of Gashmias in our lives and helped us realize that materialism, physicality, the mundane, these are things that can be elevated. They can be embedded with spirituality, can be infused with spirituality. That's message number one of the sukkah. Take that which is mundane and infuse it with spirituality. Message number two, the frailty of the sukkah, the diras arai, reminds us of the frailty of life. And yet, Klal Yisrael's ability to endure throughout the galus because of the protection, the hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number three, the lack of comfort that we experience in the sukkah helps us reorient ourselves in terms of what true simcha is. That asiyas ha-mitzvos, surrounding ourselves with the opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through mitzvos, that is the ultimate simcha. So as we have one last day here of the mitzvah of sukkah, let's be zochet to connect to these concepts, to these ideas. And Amir Hashem, the message of the sukkah will then be able to be carried with us as we embark on the rest of the year. Everyone have a great rest of the Chol HaMoed, and thank you, Zach, for the opportunity to share some more.